Well, a very good afternoon, everybody. Now, it's nice to see you. You look like one of my classes I used to teach, you know. Thank you, Alan, for your welcome. I do live in Southport, but I was born in Nelson, which is over the hill there. And I grew up, I went to a school called Fisher Moor at Cone. I went to a holiday camp called Nelson and Cone College for 2 years. And then I went to another holiday camp called Padgate Teacher Training College at Cheshire. And then I ended up in London teaching sport in the East End. And I taught sport for many years. For a lot of my time I played for Cone Dynamo's football club. And our manager has moved up to this area, if I can find him. So if you know where Mr. White is, I'd like to know. But can I just say it's a joy to be with you. Now, I want you to imagine. Are you coming to attack me? Is it not switched on? Is it on? Okay. Is it not coming through? I don't know. Is it all right? Well, if you'd like to interrupt at any point, please do. It makes life very interesting if you interrupt. And I do an awful lot of street work, so interruptions are great. We love it. Now, I'm going to get you to think. Now, I am convinced that most people in Britain do not know what to think. They are told what to think. Because we're all subject to the media. And before that, we all go to our atheistic cathedrals called schools. And they have a national curriculum. And they teach you that you came from the slime. You see? And then they say a big bang happened. And then the world came into being. Well, I challenge that. And when you challenge it, ladies and gentlemen, they are found wanting. Can you think of one big bang that has gone bang that's brought beauty from chaos? Think of just one. You think of one. Let me help you. Beirut, Belfast, Brighton, Warrington bomb. Is that a mess or is it order? But they asked me to believe that when something goes bang, it's meant to be beautiful. See this world. So what happens, folks, is I'm trying to get you to think for yourself. Okay. Now, I want you to imagine that we fly in an aeroplane over to one of the most ancient tribes in the world. So let's say it goes to the Aucas of South America. Now, the Aucas traditionally were headhunters until the 1960s, and that's because Christian missionaries went in there and changed them. And we take this one Auca that we've kidnapped to Blackburn Royal Infirmary, or maybe you go to Airedale these days, I don't know. Do you? Okay. So is it called Blackburn Royal Infirmary? Has it changed its name? Okay, we all go to the Blackburn Hospital. Okay. And what we do is we get this little fella we've kidnapped and we put him in the operating ward and somehow we say to him, watch this. And then a trolley comes in with a body on it and a lady wearing green mask says to somebody else in a green mask, scalpel, and they pass this piece of metal and this person lays into this body. Now, if you were the guy in the corner who we just kidnapped from South America, you think that person has either done something really wrong, or you think, great, time for some food, because they are headhunters. But if you could say to that man, actually, this is called an operation, and in a few weeks, that fella will be fine. He'd go. You're having a laugh, wouldn't he? That is because his past experience has tainted his thinking. Now, let me apply that to you. In our country, if you say you're a Christian, you're considered odd, or extreme, or crazy. But that's because you've swallowed the national curriculum and you've swallowed the BBC. And they never put sound, sane Christians on those places. They always put the crackpot crew. You see? So you get the ex-bishop of Durham. Remember him telling us that Jesus never came out of the tomb. Well, what's the point of him being in the church authority position? See what I mean? But he gets a lot of showing. Now, Jesus once met a fella called Nicodemus. He came at night. I'll read the story to him. You can read it for yourself. And then I want you to really think through what I say. And ladies and gentlemen, I don't mind at the end, if you want to come and question what I've said, it makes life interesting when people have different views, so please come and have a chat. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for nobody can do the signs that you're doing unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is of the flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel. I say to you, you must be born again." Now, here's my second little illustration. Think of a little bird that every million years, it flies a million miles north. It comes to a rock that's a million miles high. And then it goes right up to this rock, and with its beak it does this. Ready? And then it flies back. A million years passes, and it decides to have a second run. And out it goes again. It gets to the rock, which is still a million miles high, minus one of those, and then it does exactly the same. Now, when that little bird has worn down that rock to nothing, not one second of your life compared to eternity will have taken place. Do you know what Jesus says? You are going to live forever. Did you know that? The moment you were conceived in your mum's womb, an eternal being came into play. God says, "I've put eternity in man's heart." Now, if you're right that that statement is wrong, and Jesus is wrong, great. Do you know why? Because if Jesus is wrong, I don't have to think about eternity. But Jesus said, "I've put eternity in their hearts." That means even though you leave this body, you'll still be in existence a million years from today. Isn't that amazing? And that's why it's so interesting and important that you tune in to what I've got to say. Because a million years from today, you can only be in one of two places. So when Nicodemus came to Jesus, first of all, he had his religion. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you get religion, I wish you well. Please don't give it me. I'm not into it. I'm not interested in it. I had it for 19 years. I had to go to mass. I had to talk to a priest, tell him what I'd done. And I even used to tell him porky pies. Because I was boring. So I used to go in 6 o'clock mass. "Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. It's been so many..." Well, if it had been about a year, I'd say, "Ooh, a few weeks." You know? And then he used to give me some Our Fathers or Hail Marys, and I used to agonise through these and think, "Great, I'm off for another year." Just religion. Now, if you get your religion, I wish you well, but please don't give me religion. I'm not interested. Nicodemus had a religion. He was a Jew. He was a leader of the Jews. He was the top man of the Jews. I'll tell you why you know that. Jesus said to him, "Are you not a teacher of Israel? And do you not know these things?" Okay. Which religion will take you to heaven? Answer, none. Isn't that amazing? Now, he had a religion, but Jesus said, you've missed it. Now the second thing Jesus said to him is, he said this, You can't do it on your own steam, Nicodemus. I used to live in London in the East End, and I used to teach sport in a school there. And my landlady was called Mildred Armstrong. And I found out she was a Blue. Now, if you live in Liverpool, that means Everton. But she was a Royal. Okay? And what happened was, her brother Bert, who was about 200 years old, wanted to give her a nice surprise. And we had a friend who worked as a royal footman in the palace. So we got on the blower to Andrew, and he said, yeah, get all these details sorted and come to the palace with Mildred Armstrong. So we said, Mill, we used to call her Auntie Mill, we said, Auntie Mill, on Thursday night we're taking you out, but we want you to really get smartened up. So she had her hair done. How about that? And then we took her, and as we're going down the mall, she said, I think I know where I'm going. See? We got to the side door, there's a man on the door, and the first thing he said to us, about four in the party with Mill, have any of you people here got a police record? And I think the answer was no. So I said, why did you ask us that? He said, because if you have, you can't come in. Now, here's a great news for you. Jesus says, if you've made a mess, you're welcome. Because he never came to save good people. There's no message for the good ones. He came to seek and to save the sinners and the lost. Isn't that good? Because, ladies and gentlemen, that means there's hope for me, who used to steal on Thursday from our Dave. And used to fall out with people and used to get into trouble as a teenager. So Jesus had to say to Nicodemus, you can't do it on your own steam, Nicodemus. Your religion won't get you there. Now, how many people do you reckon are alive today? I'll give you a clue. It's about 8 billion. And most are Chinese, so don't fall out with them, otherwise you'll be in real trouble. Okay? Jesus says of all 8 billion, no man is good. How about that? In one statement, he wiped them all off the scale. You see, to get to heaven, you've got to be perfect or go Jesus' way. And nobody's perfect because Jesus said, no man is good. So Nicodemus had to understand, whoa, I've got a problem. My religion can't do it, even though you're a teacher of Israel. And secondly, your good works can't get you there. I used to think like this. If I didn't do too many things wrong, then as long as my good bits outweighed my bad bits, I'd be all right. But how many good things do I have to do if I nick my brother's money on Thursday, which I used to do? How many do I have to do? Who's going to tell me how many I've got to do? You see, folks, we're all found wanting, unless Jesus ties it up and makes it clear for us. Here's another thing. Now, Nicodemus would have been baptized because he was a top Jew. And listen to this. Water will make you wetter. It won't make you better. If you think about it, welcome. So, it's good to be good. But folks, if I rely on my goodness to please God, Jesus says, you have no chance. Your head's in a bucket, you're dreaming. But what happens is this. He said, now this is the way to the kingdom of God. You must have two birthdays. Now the Queen, if she's a Christian, has had three. She's the only one. When she gets to 100, I think we should all send her a card. She's been sending us for years, hasn't she? But poor old postman, he's going to be busy. But here's the point, right? Jesus said you must have two birthdays. So you're listening to a man who was born on August the 8th, 1960. I share my birthday with Ronnie Biggs. How about that? And Princess Beatrice, 8th of the 8th, 88. Remember her? Now, I'm Nigel Mansell. But that was only the one that put me on planet Earth. The second one put me in Planet Heaven. And that was November 1979, when Jesus came into my heart. It's called the second birth. Without it, you don't get into heaven. You say, well, how do I get it then? Well, that's a great question, isn't it? You see, ladies and gentlemen, a lot of people don't think of what Jesus was saying. So I'm trying to get you to stop and consider. Jesus is saying this. When I go to the cross, I am going to the cross because God is holy and pure. Now, I believe in prisons. In fact, I've been in prisons. Now, don't get me wrong, I haven't been in prison because I'm a naughty boy. I visit prisons and work there. Okay? But if you didn't have prisons and we said, oh, all them people in Preston Prison, oh, it's a nice day. They must be cooped up in their little cells. Let's let them out. And all those people down Strangeways at Manchester, oh, now they need a bit of a break. Come on, let's let them out. Okay. What would the families do of the people they've wronged against? You believe in justice? I believe in justice. I believe those 96 people who died at Hillsborough should have justice. God says God is just. But if I'm not good, then God says, Vinny, you've got a problem. Because my justice and you can't get on. Because if I punish you, you're in major trouble. So Jesus says, I'll take the punishment. Isn't that good? The one who knew no sin, the one who's altogether lovely, the one who's spotless, undefiled, separated from sinners, even his enemies said this of him. Ready? This is his enemies. Now, if you go for a job and you don't want the job, put a reference of one of your enemies. But if you want the job, don't write your enemies down as a reference. This is the spirit world. We know who you are, Jesus, Son of the Most High God. Even the evil world knew who he was. Now, Jesus says, I'll die on the cross and I will take the punishment that you justly deserve and I'll lay it on my son, says his father, so you don't need to do anything. Just own up. And then put your faith and trust in Jesus. My mother is 91. She is very Irish. I mean, very Irish. Okay, because we originate from Ireland. And about 4 years ago, 5 years ago now, I was talking to her on a Sunday afternoon. She said, Vincent, she's the only person in the world calls me Vincent. Vincent, she says, yes, mother, what happened to all those people who died before Jesus came? I said, that's a great question, mother. They died believing on Jesus, the sacrifice was coming, and he would wash them from sin. Oh, I've often taught that, she said to me. So I said, mother, do you think you've ever asked Jesus to come and live in your life? So she said, no, I don't think I have. Would you like to? I would. So my mother, who's 90 odd and had 12 children, and I'm the ninth, okay, becomes a Christian in her 80s. You see, ladies and gentlemen, you can't do it on your own steam. Now, my last thing is it. Are you ready? The longer you leave it, the less chance you have. You say, how do you know that? Now, I don't know what Alan's into, but I'd be very shocked if he was into knitting. He could be into knitting. But just imagine me, I can't knit to save my life. And I decide to start knitting, and I'm going to do a nice pullover. Okay? So I start knitting, and I get about 5 lines up, rows up, yeah? And then I say to you, do you like me pullover? And you go, oh, that's lovely, but have you spotted what's on the 5th row? And I have a look. And do you know what? I've dropped a stitch. Do you know what I do? I go, thanks for telling me. I get annoyed, but I do it. If I was halfway up and we had the same conversation, do you like me in a cardigan? Lovely cardigan, nice colour, but have you spotted what's on the 5th row? Do you know what? I will get so angry, but being a perfectionist, But I'll tell you something. If I got up here and you said, fifth row, drop the stitch, no, 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 I'd buy a badge. I would. I would. Because the longer I leave it, the less I'm going to change. That's where God says, now is the accepted time. I used to play footy with a boy from Colne. He became the manager of Colne FC. And he's only his 50s. Tonight, he's having a party for the very last time for all of his mates at Padiham. Because he's going out of this world. 50 odd. So he's calling them all together to say bye-bye. I mean, bless him, that's a tough thing to do. See, ladies and gentlemen, we're only on planet Earth for a short time. But you are going to live forever. Here's the big point. Will you come and say, God, forgive me, cleanse me, wash me? And you know what will happen? He works a miracle in your life. So the power of God's Spirit comes to change you. And he gives you life eternal. There's nobody else in the whole wide world can give you that. There's no book in the world that can speak with authority about what happens next. There's nobody. But he can give life eternal to you. He said, I've come that you may have life. Isn't that amazing? In 1986, I lived in Aigburth, Liverpool. Sorry, 89. I was 86 to about 93. And on a sunny Saturday afternoon, people thought they were going to a football match. 12,000 fans went into a small little place that held 4,000. And 96 people lost their lives. When we lived in Liverpool, we all went to Anfield to have a little look at what had happened. And Liverpool Football Club had put round the ground big whiteboards, and they'd left big fat, we used to call them Jed marker pens. And people, the general public, picked them up and they wrote things on. A girl won a prize for writing a poem called Hillsborough. And another guy wrote, John Lennon will look after you. Somebody wrote, Shankly will take care of you. I was with a German friend at the time and I stopped and I saw a tiny piece of graffiti. This is what it said. To the fan who gave to me the kiss of life, rest in peace, Valerie Rogers. She was going to die. A fan stopped, gave her life. And then he died, she lived. Jesus on the cross died so you might live. Do you see? And that you might have life eternal. I'm going to finish now. Thank you, Alan, for your time. And thank you. Come up and have a chat. And may God bless you. I'm giving this to anybody who will read it. It's called the Gospel of John. And if ever you find any... Now, I'll tell you one thing you haven't to do. If you get the Burnley Express, well, don't buy it. It's a load of rubbish. Then you say, Vinny, have you ever read it? I say, no. Do you think that's fair on the editor of the Express? Me saying, load of rubbish, and I've never read it? Do you know people say there's nothing in the Christian faith? Say, oh, how many times have you read the Gospel of John then? Well, there you go, strengthen your position by reading it and finding Jesus for yourself.